Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program entitled Searching the Scriptures. It airs from 8 to 8:30 on public access channel number 6 on your TV. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources on this website to aid you in your study of God's Word. All these radio programs are there in MP3 files that can be downloaded. You can also download and view our TV program there. And there's a host of other Bible-related materials, including Bible correspondence courses, private Bible studies, if you would wish to have that. Anything that we can do in helping you understand your need for God in your life and have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, do not hesitate to call upon us. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. Last week, we began a study of the subject of sin. In this first series of lessons, we're going to identify what sin is. Last week, we finished by looking at that sin is a treacherous problem that affects all of mankind. The next thing we want to look at is that we need to be reminded of the terribleness of sin. Part of the problem that we have with sin is that people are so used to it, and some even try to excuse it, that they don't understand how terrible it is and how destructive it is. It's because they have become used to it, and they cannot recognize it or to label it. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse number 7, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. You see, sometimes we don't like to hear about sin in those terms. It's unnerving. It's something we don't like to hear. But we need to understand and get used to the thing that sin is terrible. The world wants to label everything as a sickness. In Isaiah chapter 5, and verse number 20, the prophet Isaiah said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And that's exactly what men have done to get away from being reminded of the terribleness of sin. They try to relabel it. They try to redress it. They try to change its makeup. But the end result is the same. Sin is reproached to any people. In Proverbs 14, verse 34, the scripture says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." And so sin is a reproach. And we need to understand one of the easy ways to understand the terribleness of sin and how destructive it is and how awful it is how much it cost our Father in heaven in order to find the remedy for it. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." You see, it cost the death of Jesus. Jesus would have never had to leave heaven. He would have never had to come to earth. He would have never had to suffer in misery and anguish on the cross had it not been for sin. We need to understand the terribleness of sin in the fact that Jesus had to die that horrible death on the cross because of my sin, your sin, mankind's sin, in order to make the divine remedy that we might be able to escape the consequences and destruction of our action. We need to understand also and consider the Old Testament concept of sin. The fundamental ideal was that of disobedience to God. Categorizing sin as sin of weakness or ignorance or incidental serves to minimize it. And the world has become a master at this. They just look at it as a weakness, or they're just ignorant about it, or they just say it's incidental, and that all but marginalizes it and minimizes it. Adam and Eve willfully disobeyed God. She had a choice. They both had a choice. They knew what God said. She verbatim told the serpent what God said. She had a choice. She made the wrong one. Does the Bible teach that sin was derived from a corruption of man's human nature? No. It is derived from man making the wrong choice. Sin grows and multiplies. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse number 6, the Apostle Paul rebuked the Corinthians in Corinth because they were tolerating sin in the church. It says in verse 5 and 6, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? And in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, 1 Corinthians 15, 33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. We need to understand the terrible nature and how sin multiplies. It just gets worse and takes a hold of us and gets us further and further away from God and deeper into destruction. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, in verse 17, 2 Timothy 2, verse 17, and their message will spread like cancer, Hymenaeus and Philetus of this sort. You see, sin is like cancer. It just spreads. It just gets more and more destructive as it spreads its terrible path. Remember that God destroyed the world because of the growth of sin. In Genesis chapter 6, God looked down on the world in the days of Noah and saw that his heart was on evil continually. It caused God to destroy the whole world in the days of Noah during the flood. Under the law of Moses, explicit terms for sin were used. It was called iniquity. Iniquity means lawlessness. It means perversion or distortion. It describes Israel's sin. Let's read a passage together from Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14, in discussing the sin of the children of Israel, in verse 32 it says, but as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and bear the brunt of your infidelity, because until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness, according to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, for each day you will bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. You see, they were told to go to the promised land. They were told that they were to receive it as a blessing, as inheritance. And they feared what they saw instead of trusting God. And because of that, they died in the wilderness. That first generation never got into the promised land because of sin, the sin of unbelief, a failure to trust God. Transgression was a conscious rebellion against God. When men consciously rebelled against God, as Adam and Eve did, as the children of Israel did, there was a direct consequence that resulted in death. Wickedness describes sin after it becomes habitual. In 1 Samuel chapter number 15, 1 Samuel chapter number 15, in verse number 23, the Bible says, for rebellion is of sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. You see, wickedness is something that describes sin as being habitual. It is the counterpart of righteousness. It is the opposite of doing what's right when we do what's wrong. And so under the law of Moses, there were 21 death penalties for men who committed sin. And man was responsible to keep God's law explicitly, or there were severe consequences. Ladies and gentlemen, sin must be taken seriously. Like many in the Bible, people today are prone to try to excuse sin, try to excuse their conduct. In 1 Samuel 15, that's what Saul tried to do. He tried to say, well, I know God said to destroy everything that drew the breath of life, every animal, child, every person, but they kept the best of the sheep and the oxen to offer to God for sacrifice, and it was the people that kept them and not Saul. That didn't work. He lost his kingdom because he failed to follow God's instruction. Sin is a mark of one who disobeys God. Regardless of the reason, regardless of the justification in your mind, the rationalization, it is simply a disobedience to God. For doing so, that places you in death, spiritual death, separated from God. Do the reasons change the guilt before God? Not at all. That doesn't change anything. When you sin, there is a repercussion. Let me give you a very simple passage that will help you remember this. In Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 59, we're going to read the first two verses. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. This is what happens when you and I sin. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, that he will not hear. When men sin, they are separated from God. It drives a wedge between God and the sinner. And until that sin is dealt with, until that sin is rectified by forgiveness and repentance, it will always block our relationship with our God. And so we need to understand the terribleness of sin. It separates us from God, and no reason that you can give will justify you participating in it. Consider the New Testament concept of sin. As we would expect, the New Testament teaching is similar to the Old. While sin is categorized in several passages, it is not categorized in Galatians 5. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul to the churches of Galatia, beginning in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I tell you in times past, that those who practice such things cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now, did you get that? Did you hear that clearly, ladies and gentlemen? Those who participate in sin, in any type of disobedience to the laws of God, for whatever reason, for whatever justification they want to make, it is going to result in separation from God. And any man, any woman, any group of men and women who live in, conduct themselves in, and die in sin cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Let that sink in. You can't gain heaven if you die in your sin. We must be reminded that all sin is a result of disobedience to God's law. All sin is ultimately against God. You could lie about me. You could misrepresent me. You could say some things that were false about me. You could hurt me in some physical way, and I could forgive you, but that doesn't clear it with God. All sin is first and foremost against God. He's the only one that can take it off your record, because you have sinned against him because you have violated his law. Now, in closing this morning, I want you to remember this one point that we emphasized last week also. God hates sin in any form, in any fashion, in any design. And if you and I are guilty of sin, we are alienated from God, we are his enemy, we have transgressed his covenant, and we will be guilty and separated from God until we take care of the sin. Sin is something that God will not fellowship nor tolerate. Sin must be rejected and sin must be left in order to be right with God. Thank you for listening this morning. We hope you tune in again next Lord's Day as we continue.